Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You know, it's been
a year since we last saw.
It feels like a very long time. I feel like this week has gone by very fast, but only in the sense of very fast when you like get hit on the head or something and lose track of the passage of time. It's that kind of very fast.
It's the really slow in like individual moments, but very fast kind of when you're like, oh, it's Friday already. But
yeah,
like, it does feel like there were parts of it which are just, they drag on.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because you're just refreshing a web page over and over again for some reason.
Watching the same. I wanted to praise, as somebody who does a lot of podcasts, and occasionally I get annoyed when somebody writes in. Do you know this? Occasionally I get annoyed. When somebody writes in and says, like, ha-ha, I caught you say something that was a slight misstatement 48 minutes into your two-hour thing where you talked, you know, extemporaneously about subjects. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, it happens because we're human beings and it's not scripted and that happens. And I say all that because some of these... Some TV anchors are better than others. Some TV personalities, mm-hmm. TV mm-hmm. news personalities are better than others. But I will say this, to stand there and talk on eventually, over time, very little sleep, to stand there and talk and say things and be correct and be sometimes entertaining, but also having to do math and touch really wonky touchscreen interfaces on the stupid election maps and all of that. Like, what I'm saying is I appreciate the work that those people have to do, because that is another level up of keeping it together and not saying ridiculously dumb things when you're really kind of working without a net.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's walking and chewing gum at the same time while also not sleeping and probably trying to like drink a glass of water.
Yeah, and don't spill the water. Yeah. It's So I have an appreciation for that, because it's one thing as a writer to go over your story and be like, oh yeah, what's the right word here? I'll look it up, and oh, I had this tangent I wasn't planning, but okay, I can do some research and I can put in that tangent and all that. And when you're on a podcast or on live TV, you don't get to do those things. You don't get to be like,
sure, right,
everybody stop. I'm gonna go over to Wikipedia. I'll be back. Like, no, you don't get to do that.
It's like when we do live blog coverage of an event. Or, you know, financials or whatever. And it's like, stuff is fleeting. It goes by quick. And it's sometimes you miss something, or sometimes you misunderstand something, or sometimes you just don't know the details, right?
Like,
you know, when we're covering an Apple event, they're announcing, oh, it does this and it does that. And it's like, well, I wonder what that means about X or Y. Like, well, we don't know because we don't have that information yet, right? Like, we are basing a lot of stuff on our knowledge of the overall process or the overall situation, but we don't have the down in the weeds details, so stuff's gonna be wrong, but you fix it later. And guess what, there's so much stuff out there. I don't understand why anybody wastes their time trying to correct things when it's like there's just so much volume of stuff that it's let it go, move on.
Every now and then I get an email from somebody who says, hey Jason, I just wanted to let you know that there was a extremely trivial minor typo on this article from 3 weeks ago. And I'll think, okay, now that I know it exists, I'm gonna have to go fix it.
Yeah,
but also, literally nobody, the act of fixing it will essentially do nothing, because 99% of the people who will ever read this already read it.
Yeah. And they glossed over it because they were like, I understand what you were saying, even if there was a typo.
Which brings me to something. So I've been getting on the newsletter train. I've been reading people's newsletters. And I was thinking about how terrible it must be to have your primary editorial. Because our primary editorial is the website, right?
Right.
Have your primary editorial be a newsletter. And it takes me back to the days of working in magazines.
Because when it's out...
If there's a mistake in your newsletter, you can't fix it. You can't edit it to be right.
What are you
going to
do, re-email everybody?
Well, okay, which brings me to my next point, which is I had to re-email the Six Colors newsletter 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Because it didn't work right because of a quirk. So you did everything right, which is put a video in a story.
I broke it. It's fine.
You did everything right. You put a video in a story. And MailChimp has this whole, like, I will take your video links and just make a little link, and then you click and it'll load the video on a web browser. It's fine. And it didn't do that. Yeah. And I hadn't planned on that. And so it broke the width. It basically broke the width of the newsletter got so ridiculously large that you couldn't read anything because all the it had to scale down the page and then all the type looked really small. So I had to send that out again. And it's an adventure. For those who have listened to this podcast, you may know this newsletter is being automated by me using Apple Script and BB Edit because I don't want to do newsletter production every week. I wanted to just go out with the content of the site, but the problem is there's no good tool to do that that I found. And using MailChimp, I end up I've hacked this thing where MailChimp can be set on a schedule to read an RSS feed and put all the contents of the RSS feed in a newsletter. And I've created an RSS feed with one article in it that is all the content from the week. And then MailChimp's like, great. Puts it in, and it works when it works. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So last week, what happened is, again, like it's a process, but once you make the mistake, it's done. There's nothing you can do. So last week, first off, I've been babysitting. I've been running the script in advance of it going out to make sure there isn't something broken, which is why the video thing didn't look broken, because I was taking on faith that MailChimp would do the right thing, and it failed. So I fixed that and then sent it out again. But on Friday, when the thing goes out, I get this text from John Gruber at like 11 in the morning saying, hey, I need to do one more talk show before the end of the month, which is tomorrow. You want to be on. And I like being on the talk show. I like talking to John. It really is. Not only does he have a great, enormous audience I've had a bunch of comments about 20 Max for 2020 this week because obviously people had no idea that I was doing it until they heard about it on the talk show. So it's like there are lots of good reasons to do it. Plus, it's just fun to shoot the breeze with John. It's fun. We talk for a couple hours. It's like it's a fun conversation to have. However, we did it Friday afternoon because I couldn't do it on Saturday, and I blew past the newsletter window, so the newsletter just went out. And what happened was it put the entire transcript of the Apple analyst call and every single chart that I made for the Apple event, yeah. Apple financial event, in the newsletter, which is no bueno. And so I had that moment of like, all right, well, what do they say? I feel like it's like sports people be like, you just got to forget about it. You just move on and think about the next day. You can't dwell on it. It's a little like that with a newsletter. You can't dwell on it. It's out there. It's done. You can't go back and do it again. So this week, I built an altered version of the script that looks. Oh, how detailed do I want to get here? Well, most of the people listening to this are tech nerdy people, and maybe they'll like it. I was using to get the member articles out of the member feed. I'm feeding them through this like the same one that you were using. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. This JSON RSS to JSON converter because it's way easier to parse JSON. The problem with it is that feed doesn't actually have a lot of data that comes through in the JSON of metadata about articles. And so I had this moment where I realized, well, the right way to do this is to come up with like a tag or tags that I can just set my script to ignore, a tag on an article. And I realized there are no tags visible in that converted feed. So my new version of the script only uses that converted feed for the text of the member posts. Everything else is coming out of the regular old JSON feed that anybody can get for $6 and contains tags. And then it filters on tags. Now, the problem is what I'd like to do is have a tag called no newsletter, right? No, don't newsletter. No.
Leave it alone.
But then it's on the front end of the site. There's a no newsletter, which is weird and irrelevant. And so for now, I've like created some dumb like transcripts and financial charts tags, and I'm filtering those out. But I'm thinking, I'm toying with the idea, and I'm revealing it to you and everyone else here. I may create a weird tag that no one knows what it means and just start tagging things that shouldn't be in the newsletter with that tag. And just, you know, only we will notice. Only those of you who are listening to this will even notice that it exists, but that is what it is until I eventually filter it out entirely. So look for that. But I'm hoping that this afternoon, I will be around and we'll test out my script and make sure that it is not a mess. But I, you know, I can't predict. And once it's out there, right, it's out there. So that's my story. 2 weeks in a row where I feel like I took a loss on the newsletter, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's a process. I mean, anything that you, I think this is true of a lot of automation stuff, especially, right? Like sometimes you have to, there's a lot of trial error in it, right? Like,
yeah.
I think about sending out newsletters, you know, to my small, you know, little mailing list or stuff like that. And it's like, you know, you send out the previews and stuff like that. You try to spot check everything. But like when the point comes where you want to be like, I'm just taking this hands off, right? Like,
yeah,
there's going to be edge cases. That's yeah, always the thing, right, when there's edge case.
Because I don't want to do the preview in the long run. Now, the truth is I do want to do the preview in the short run. And I missed it because I was on the talk show. And I missed it because it was a thing that was happening after the point where I could preview
right,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
But yeah, I mean, but yeah, you're trying to anticipate. And then something weird happens, and you're like, oh, I failed to anticipate that. It never really crossed my mind. And
I wrote about this, I think on Monday, the streaming Among Us, which we were doing on The Incomparable.
Right.
And trying to find, like, oh, I made this work. And then you finally get to, like, game time, and you're getting ready to do it, and you're like, oh, I did not take into account this one thing. Because I forgot to test it, and now I'm in a jam.
Right.
So there's always something that turns out it's slightly more complicated than you want it to be.
Yeah.
And there's exceptions. And, you know, you do your best to get around that. But
all the programmers out there are nodding right now. Yep. They're like, oh yeah, yep, that's literally what programming is. So,
yeah.
So speaking of events, which you mentioned a while ago, mm-hmm, just to be clear, today as we record this, pre-orders for the iPhone 12 mini and Pro Max happened. They ship next week. There's also an Apple event on Tuesday.
Don't forget the HomePod Mini, Jason.
HomePod
pre-ordered
Mini
today.
There's also an Apple event on Tuesday. Yet another
indeed,
Apple event. So we've got once again products that are going to get announced before other products actually even start shipping. As
yeah,
this completely wild fall of Apple product announcements rolls on, everybody's expecting that this will be the Apple Silicon Max that were promised, that Tim Cook has said more than one occasion.
Sure seems like it, unless they got a December event up this week.
Yeah, I don't know what else it could be. So
they've revved the rest of the product line by this point. There's really, unless they're pulling
yeah,
something out of left field, that's
and the
what
rumors
it is,
are that it's going to be laptops, and that, yeah, that they're probably going to just do a one-to-one replacement of like,
yeah,
the MacBook Air and
this
the 13-inch MacBook Pro.
This is what my Monday Macworld column is about, which is sort of the paths that Apple could take for this processor transition. Is it something that looks like the Intel transition, where it's just let's you know, slap some new chips, but they're going to be the familiar same old, you know, devices that we've known for many years? Or is this an opportunity where they might try to do some stuff that's a little more radical? And I think what the sticking point for me on this is that certainly the rumors that suggest you're going to see a 13-inch and 16-inch Pro and a 13-inch Air, that seems very plausible. You know, I can understand why Apple would want to maintain that continuity, right? And like keep everybody thinking it doesn't really matter. These are the same devices that you've used for years. It's not going to affect you for the most part. But that's also at the same time I don't want to say self-defeating, that's too strong, but like it's a weird argument to have an hour-long event saying these are new Macs, but they're exactly the same as the
yeah,
old Macs. It's very boring, right? Like, you don't want to, your message should not be this is a boring transition. Your
right,
message should be this is what you need to get excited about, but don't worry, it's not a thing to panic about. So like threading that needle of
right,
we want to talk about what's
is
great about this.
Performance and battery. I mean, we could tick off
enough?
The list, right?
Yeah.
So it's
sure,
improved performance, and this is, I have a little preview. I made the chart, but I haven't written the article yet. I woke up this morning and realized what I ought to do is do a fun with charts. I haven't done fun with charts in a while because it got supplanted by 20 Max for 2020, honestly. But a fun with charts, where I'm going to revisit my Apple Silicon speculation chart one last time before we actually see Apple Silicon.
Right.
But just to be clear, because I want it out there again, there was a rumor, or there's a Geekbench score got submitted seems to be an A14X processor in a Mac. Right, so everybody thinks, okay, that's what they're announcing. It is it real? Is it not? My point is sort of that it doesn't matter because the number is within range of what I've been speculating about all along, which is literally if you look at the path of growth of the A processors over time and of the iPad processors over time, it is right on the slope of the growth of those processors to have the score that got submitted. But if we take an at face value, basically the score that was submitted, just to be clear, and so this is how Apple can start, is with performance. It will be faster. The A14X, not essentially an iPad chip, not a super souped up many, 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 many core Mac chip. It's essentially the logical follow up to the A12 X and Z. It will be faster than literally every Mac laptop that is being sold today.
Yeah.
It will be faster than the high-end 8-core 16-inch MacBook Pro, and a lot faster than the high-end 13-inch MacBook Pro, and a lot faster than the MacBook Air. So just the iPad chip. So that you start with performance, presumably yep. there's a battery story.
Yep.
And then we know that there's not only Big Sur, but there's this whole like iOS on Big Sur yeah. story to tell. And that's, you start to get maybe enough of an event here to tell the story, even if they don't like have a touchscreen on it or something like right. that, that they can do it. But you're right. I do have that moment where I think, you know, if your message is rest easy, everybody, it's just the familiar laptops, you know, yeah, with a new chip
you
in
could
it.
Just do this for the press release.
Right. No, they need to boast. I mean, and they need to boast about yeah. Apple Silicon.
Apple, like you said, Apple tells stories about its products. And so the question is, if you're coming out with, you know, computers that look basically identical to the computers they're replacing, what's the story you're telling? And right. you're right. You hit all those high points. Those are the things that we know about already, right? We've already gleaned a lot of that yeah. from what they said at WWDC.
For sure.
And, you know, what we've seen from the performance of the A14 in both the iPad and iPhone events. So how much time are we going to spend going over that point? I think, you know, the software story is still the more interesting one, just because that's something that I'm fascinated to know. And, you know, certainly not much has been said about this or leaked about this from the people with the developer kits who have been, you know, kind of played stuff very close to their vests. But, you know, what is the experience of using an iOS app on a Mac, right? Like, yes, a lot of them have been adapted for cursor and keyboard support with the Magic Keyboard, but fundamentally they're still touch first apps. Like, is this going to be a weird janky experience for a while? Is it going to be good enough? Does it herald the idea that like we're going to see a touchscreen interface at some point? Has Apple done something else clever to kind of bridge that gap?
Right.
I don't think we know right now. And that's an interesting question.
And it's the details, right? Because presumably yeah. if you run an iOS app on the Mac, it's going to do, I would imagine maybe even the cursor is going to turn into the little circle cursor from
yeah,
the iPad.
Yeah.
And it's going to work like that. And it's funny. We talk about this a lot, and then it's always funny to see it be revealed that how Apple, we often see Apple start rolling out features and you're like, oh, that's an interesting feature. Or, oh, I can see mm-hmm. how this might have an application. And then you look back and you think, oh,
that was obvious. Why didn't I see
that?
That's
what they were yeah. doing. And it's like the mouse, you know, cursor support on the iPad is a great feature. And we've talked about them laying the groundwork for that for a while. But you look at it in the guise of like a prelude to Apple Silicon, you realize, oh, also they needed to have a clear, tested out mouse interaction, cursor interaction right. model for the Mac, because you're going to be able to run these things on the Mac. It's like, oh, yeah. of course, that's why. And so they yeah. don't need touchscreens because, you know, although I think that they could have them and it would benefit to be, yep. touch those apps, but you don't have to, because essentially you're going to pick up the work that they did on the iPad, and that iPad Pro work was not just for the iPad, it was for the Mac.
Yeah, right. I think it's interesting. I think the other thing, and this is, you know, much more of a brand thing than anything, is I'm also interested to see if they decide they want to rename this product line, because
right. that happened with the Intel transition.
It happened with the Intel transition, and I think what makes it a little bit challenging for them right now is, unless they are really discontinuing all the Intel Macs, some of which they released fairly recently,
yeah,
they could.
Certainly plausible. The 13-inch and the Air both got revisions in 2020.
Are they going to want to sell two products with the same name that use different processors? That's
right.
It's like, for a lot of people like us, you know, we're fine with that. Whatever, we get the difference between it. But a lot of their customers are going to be like, wait, why are there two MacBook Airs like that are basically the same? Why would I buy this one?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Like,
and
I don't know. It seems like it can be confusing.
And what's the? So here's the thing about Macs is, Apple doesn't do the Tim Cook roll down old models thing with Max.
Yeah.
So in the past, if we look at the past, what has happened is, remember that non-Retina MacBook Pro?
I was going to say, they keep around the one right? long-lived.
So,
yeah.
First off, they're going to be Intel desktop Macs, even if they release these laptops. But yeah, I wonder if what they'll do is they're going to keep the, you know, maybe they keep the high-end 13 and the high-end Pro around or something, and just they're like off on the corner and you have to go look for them. But it's like, for our customers who do not want to leave Intel just yet, we will make, you know, people who rely on Windows virtualization or, you know, whatever their reasoning is. I feel like that's the most likely scenario, is that they're going to keep them around. I think if you had to put a bet down, it would be they're going to keep the names, even though it is a great opportunity to revisit the names. But also they'll keep around some models, but they're not going to be like, look at our range of models, including some Intel. I think it's going to be like, that old model will stick around for a while as a footnote.
Yeah, yeah. Like there was an iMac for a while too.
I think
the 20, 21 inch or so, the 20.5 inch or whatever, like it stuck around for a while. I mean, some of that was a pricing thing. Some of it was education customers, et cetera. I think the other interesting question is, we have been accustomed to treating our Macs, you know, many of us, in a specific way when we go and buy them. What is the future of build-to-order options? We've never had an iOS device with configurable memory, for example, right? Like, and certainly Macs, there's been less of that over time. But is this another situation where Apple's going to be like, we think you don't need to worry about it. One size fits all. Everybody gets, you know, 16 gigs of RAM or something. Or are there going to be built-to-order options on these things? I assume there will be different storage tiers. That's pretty predicated by the existence of all the iOS devices. But what about things like graphic cards? Is every MacBook Pro that runs on Apple Silicon chip using Apple's own graphics? Or are there discrete GPUs? How does that work? Can you even use it? I don't even know the technology of that. Could you use a discrete third-party GPU with an Apple Silicon chip?
Among the questions here, yes, can you adjust the RAM?
Yeah.
Or is it just standard? And more broadly, what differentiates the MacBook Air from the MacBook Pro if they're both 13-inch laptops?
And they're the same chip. Are they clocked differently? Different cores?
So do they because the rumor has been that it's all based on the A12 or A14X, which would mean 8 cores, but it's actually 4 performance cores and the 4 power saver cores, efficiency cores, I guess they're called. And that's where I get my numbers that say this is going to be really fast. But
because which configure, that's the other thing, is like you mentioned the Geekbench thing that leaked, but it's like, which model chip is that, right?
If there is even a model, it seems to be running at a clock speed that's higher than the one in the iPhone, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because if they're really dropping them into these standard laptops, they have cooling systems, so they can clock them up, right? They can make them run hotter and it's fine because they can cool them. And it's not a problem. And presumably they run cooler anyway, but they have an active cooling system that an iPad and a phone doesn't offer. But yeah, is there a different speed profile? And you could do this with binning, right? The thing that we've talked about before, about what the A12Z is essentially the A12X, but they saved the ones that all the GPU cores worked. And that's what the A12Z is. It's literally the same chip, but all the cores are turned on. They could do that. And this happens with lots of chips, that there are ones that they rate higher and that can run faster and hotter, and others that don't. And the MacBook Air gets the kind of like clock down ones. 13-inch MacBook Pro has touch bar. So presumably that would continue.
Yeah.
But it's also heavier. My question is, what is, other than that it's cheaper, but like if it's cheaper and it's essentially the same computer, why would you buy the other one?
Yeah.
So that's the question, is maybe it is about some other specs, and it's about the size of the SSDs that are available, and it's the amount of RAM, and maybe the Air only has one config, right? And it's if you want more than that, but that is going to be something that we have no idea about that I find fascinating is how
I wrote a
piece about this like a year ago when I was looking at that I think it was that MacBook Air, the first Retina MacBook Air, and it was like it came in one configuration. It's like, is this the future? But the current MacBook Air has two totally different processor configurations you could buy. So I don't know. I'm fascinated to find out how they can vary the specs, especially to differentiate a MacBook Pro. I mean, because is the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air is the only difference there really that they're that one has a touch bar and one doesn't? Because that's weird.
Well, and slightly different weights and different, different
in a positive way, like right? Everything else is also bigger and heavier.
Yay! Yeah, exactly. Yeah, huzzah! Yeah, I don't know. It's wild. I mean, and I think you're totally right. I mean, like the 16-inch, at least there's a clear differentiation.
Right.
It's got a much bigger screen, right? Like,
right.
I think that's... I was surprised to see that report. I think it was Bloomberg, right? Where it was a Mark Gurman.
Mark Gurman, yeah.
And, you know... this is that like here are the models that they're probably going to release, don't expect any major changes. So it's like, all right, I can kind of get that, but yeah, all three of those models, including like you said, some of them revised, you know, 6 months ago, it's an interesting choice. I'm fascinated by this because this is, you know, as we've been talking about this for a long time, you and I, the Apple Silicon Max, because it was always kind of a, you know, at a certain point, we decided it was a foregone conclusion that this would happen.
Yeah.
And now that we're, you know, imminent from this actual transition, I feel like in some ways we actually don't know that much more than we did when we were speculating about this like a year or 2 years ago. And I'm excited because as we talked before, like, you know, this is the biggest change for the Mac. I don't know. Maybe not in its history, but certainly since something like Mac OS X debuted, right? Like,
I mean, it's at least as the biggest change in the Mac since the Intel transition.
And I think it's bigger than that, honestly, just because of the fact that what it means long term for Apple having the entire platform under its control. I think this has much more. And as I point out in my column, I think it's fairly safe to say this is going to be the last processor transition for the Mac. I cannot envision, unless there is a sea change in the way that we build personal computers, I cannot ever foresee Apple outsourcing a critical infrastructure component to a third party ever again.
Now that Apple is building its own chips on all its devices, why would it ever stop?
Why would it ever stop, right?
Yeah, I agree. It would have to be the Mac is the end of the Mac, basically.
It would have to be an existential threat where it's like Apple is forced to divest themselves of their chip company or Apple is risking going out of business. And
right.
Like, yeah, but nothing compares to, like you said, it would be the end of the Mac. I think the Mac dies before it switches away from an Apple Silicon processor. It just doesn't. Apple has been looking to get to this point for a long time, and I cannot see why they would change.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's something in the unforeseeable future, but it would be
like quantum chip processors or something. But like, this is nothing that's happening anytime soon.
Right. Yeah. So it's a super important day in the history of the Mac, just as the WWDC keynote was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, I think about like, oh, and also we're, you know, those new iPhones are coming. And like, there's so much news next week. It's just bananas how much news there is next week. Let me tell you, I opened my reminders app yesterday and I laughed because I did it for a different reason. But that's where I keep my story idea list. Mm. And I literally have not consulted my story idea list in, I don't know how long, a month. And trust me, it's my go-to for like, here's an idea. Here's a thing I should write about. Hey, I need to write about something. What's it going to be? And like for the last month or two, haven't even cracked it because there is too much. And there still is too much. I didn't even mention, presumably Big Sur is going to ship next week.
Yeah, yeah. And there was an update yesterday for the
release candidate.
Yeah.
So
that's like the day one patch, right? Like,
yeah, because it's a release candidate, but it's 11.01, which means 11.0 is almost certainly only on those Macs that are going to be announced next week. 11.01, and I did the thing This is on is actually on my list. Not my literal list, because I don't need to consult it. But I pulled my first look of Big Sur. Because that's the next thing on my to-do list between now and Tuesday is I need to write my review of Big Sur, which is essentially take my first look about the public beta and keep some of it and tear out some of it based on having used it for this whole summer, and update that so that I have a new version of that for next week, because it's going to ship. And so I need to do that. So that's on the list. So much going on, and it's November now. I mean, it's just like, this is 2 years ago was wild, where Apple did, that's when they did the second event. They did the Brooklyn event and announced the iPad Pro and the MacBook Air. And that was a wild season, because we had the whole iPhone rollout, and then we had this, the Mac rollout. Mac and iPad rollout. So it was a very, very busy season. And this is like that, but even more wild, because they've done the three events. I like it. I have to say, I like it in the sense that I wouldn't want these compressed into two events, because it would be
too much
to process, and we wouldn't get enough time on any of the products. And I think that's why it benefits Apple. But boy, it is, you know, I warn my family that the fall is a very busy time for me. Just I remind them and it's outdone itself this time. So, but it's great, because we have lots to talk about. And let me tell you, scraping the bottom of the barrel of my little story ideas list, not my favorite thing.
Yeah, sure. It's nice to have that. It's nice to have that, you know, well, that eternal well of news story. I'm excited.
I will share the other thing that I did this week. So I was thinking, what am I going to do this week? We're in a slight lull before. And then there's also like all the election stuff is going on. It's like super stressful. And what's our country going to do? And all those things are happening. And one thing that I did do this week, I took the opportunity on Tuesday, I think, is mostly, and then Wednesday, I got back ahead with 20 Macs for 2020. So number 8 posted this week. Number 7 and 6 are locked and loaded, which is really great. The podcasts are done. The essays are done. One of the videos is done, and then we have to shoot our last batch of videos. So I'll do that. But like, I'm ahead on that, and we're taking Thanksgiving as a skip week.
Nice.
Because I have it to give, and I'm going to give it then. And so that's nice, because I feel a little less pressure on that, because I know the next week and a half is going to be ridiculous.
So, yeah.
It's good to be busy, but it's also like I'm glad it isn't like this all the time.
I don't think my blood pressure could stand it.
No, mine definitely couldn't, and I take medication for that. So
you and me both, bro.
Oh, good, nice.
Yep. It's a stressful line of work. I know. I'm excited for all this to come. I've been waiting for the Apple Silicon thing for a long time. I will be, you know, first in line ordering one as soon as the pre-orders are available, and hopefully we'll have one in short order. We'll see when they ship.
And I got the post reviews being posted, but before people had them in stores or in their hands, of the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Pro. So I'm hoping that I will have those. I don't have them now.
I tried to talk my mom the other day into like whether she wanted a mini, because she has a first generation SE.
Oh yeah, I've got one of those in my drawer. This is that drawer that I think maybe, did we talk about that last week, or maybe that was on upgrade? But like,
yeah, I think it was upgrade. I heard you and Mike talking about it.
This is going to come into play, right? Because I'm going to have all those new iPhones presumably, and I've got all these old iPhones.
Do the lineup,
and so I can do the lineup and compare these and look at this and all of that, and that's going to be really nice. That's why I don't trade in my phones.
It makes sense. I was going to say I tried to convince my mom, because she has the SE, and she's like, I don't really need a new phone. Everything's fine. Oh, I was like, all right.
It's so old.
I know it is so old, but that's the thing. We discussed this on the Rebound in our bonus for Rebound Prime subscribers this week. Our parents, our frustration with parents when they're like, it works fine. I don't need a new device. And we're like, how can you live with it? It's like a, yeah. It's like it's chiseled out of stone. And they're like, well, I don't do anything with my phone. It's like, parents.
I had a just more on this next week, undoubtedly. But I was talking to somebody in the, I think in the Six Colors member Slack, who was talking about how the pandemic had made them more inclined to get the Pro Max.
Because they don't leave the house.
And well, and this is the thing that I thought is I use my iPhone so much less than I did because of the pandemic, and I already didn't use it a lot. Mm-hmm. That I'm thinking that the pandemic has made me more likely to get the Mini.
Mm.
The idea that like I don't need a big if I need a lot, I will use my iPad.
Yeah.
So I really want it to be just little and on the go for when I am out and about. Honestly, half the time I go out, because I don't go out so much right now, other than to run. And when I run, I don't even bring a phone, right? I have a cellular Apple Watch, and I just use that, which still is working great, by the way. I just say again, the ability to go and have my podcasts all available and do my and be like reachable in case of an emergency and just have it all be on my wrist and with the AirPods, it's the best. But when I do go out and I got my phone with me, like I think I would prefer the most compact phone for that scenario. But like, that's why they make all those flavors of ice cream. Yeah. And that's why Apple makes four iPhone 12s, is everybody gets to kind of pick the one that works for them. But
I agree. I miss the smaller size. I do find the 12 Pro, it's fine as the previous things of that size have been. But I agree, it's always just a little bit large.
Yeah.
And I think if the Mini had the camera, and I think we discussed this with the 12 versus the 12 Pro last week, but like if you could get the Mini but with the telephoto lens of the 12 Pro, it would be a no-brainer, like a total thing. But I understand they need to draw the line somewhere, and maybe at some point the smaller size becomes more compelling than needing to have that extra camera lens. But who knows?
Who knows? Well, I'm not going to even say that. This was a dramatic week. next week will probably be pretty dramatic.
The world will look very different.
Let's hope in a different kind of drama, though. But a big week next week. So we'll be back to hash it all out, and we'll be in the world of Apple Silicon maybe next week. That's exciting.
I'm jazzed.
Watch out for the Silicon. What was it called? The Silicon Snowflake from Star Trek.
Oh, the crystalline entity.
The crystalline entity. Watch out for that, though.
Yes. It's hovering off.
Don't touch it. It's evil.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Totally different reference. All right, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.